for another episode of Fighting for Overtime. And this week we talk about the impact of daddy ball in youth sports. We're going to go dive deep into my own personal history, as well as have some sound bites for you, some clips, some interesting information on the pros and cons of daddy ball and why it affected me personally, to be honest with you, somebody who's always coached their kids. And I think that is something that we need to look into, because the landscape of youth sports continues to change. And as it changes, problems arise. And that's why we're here to talk about them. Again, I'm your host, Coach Tony. This is Fighting for Overtime. This is episode 3. If you haven't followed on Instagram yet, at Fighting for Overtime, that would be wonderful. If you've given a rating or subscribed, that would even be greater. It would help me immensely as we continue to build this community. Because remember, I always say, it may have happened to you. If you want to speak up, speak up. This is a no-judgment zone. And as always, you are not alone. Now, the impact of daddy ball on youth sports. I found a few articles I thought that were pretty telltale. And I also have a soundbite from Jamal Crawford, which is wonderful. It's about 2 minutes long. I'll play that shortly. And it kind of dives into him himself, you know, NBA player as a dad coach, and how he had to change his mindset. Because this isn't just what the parents think, it's also what you think on your own. And I have a couple instances where I completely butchered it, to be honest with you. And I'm surprised my kids are even talking to me today, because I was so incessant on not being that daddy ball coach. But there was one particular person that somehow, some way, tried to paint me as Mr. Daddy Ball, which is great. We'll get into that earlier, or I should say later. Because I think it's pretty interesting. And people that are from the area who know me and know my circle will probably know who I'm talking about. You know, but she's famous for taking pictures and being everybody's friend. Well, she wasn't my friend, and I'll be glad to talk about it a little later. So the impact of daddy ball, the term daddy ball, go right into it, refers obviously to a situation where a parent, often the father, is a coach of a youth sports team. And honestly, when people think he favors his own child with more playing time, different positions, you know, different roles on the team at the expense of the other talented or more deserving player. But the question I have, like I always do on this program, is looking at the positive and the negatives. I mean, why does it always have to be a negative? Because I think there's some very big positive factors when it comes to parent coaches as well. Now, I will say this, and this is no disrespect to any of my really good friends that are coaching in my township or in another township that they live in, but I adamantly feel you should not be allowed to coach in a high school athletics level if you're coaching already in the township that school is in. Let me give you an example why I feel this way. I feel this way because let's just paint a picture, and let's paint a picture of tryout, and let's paint a picture of, and this has nothing to do with daddy ball. This is a different instance, right? The different circumstance. So say, we'll just say me, right? Say me, I'm a coach for my township softball team, and I coach 14 girls, but I also am the coach of William Tennant High School, and I coach probably 7 of the same girls on that team. Well, we have to do tryouts, and we have to figure out who's going to be on JV, who's going to be on varsity. Well, I know 7 of the girls, but 7 of them I don't. So let's just think about this for a second. So one of the girls of the 7 that I know is a fantastic athlete. I watched her play for the last 4 years. She's an absolute stud. I already know it. She's very, very good. Very polished, great teammate, good culture, good skills, everything, attention to detail. She comes to the first tryout and she whiffs. She faces live pitching, doesn't get one hit, makes 3 errors in the field. What's the first thing I'm going to say? And again, I am not faulting anybody. This is not about saying it's laying fault on somebody for this thought, but indirectly, what is the first thing that I'm going to hear or say for that matter? I know her. She's just having a bad day. I've watched her play for years. She's fantastic. She's just having a bad day. Maybe her head's not right. She'll be fine. Now let's go to Exhibit B. Here comes Jenny from the block, right? Yeah, you know I'm a J-Lo person, right? So I had to tell Jenny from the block. But I'm sure if people are listening to this, especially my wife, is probably laughing right now when I say that. But I say it because Jenny from the block comes in and has the same tryout. Jenny from the block comes in and doesn't hit anything. She can't catch. She can't hit. She makes errors. Essentially has the same tryout as player A, who I've coached for 3 years. Do I say the same thing about Jenny from the block? Hell no. First thing I say is, man, this girl can't play. Maybe she was having a bad day. Maybe she is a fantastic player. Maybe she was nervous. Maybe she just couldn't handle it at that time. Maybe she felt awkward. Maybe she felt like, you know what, those seven girls are in this clique and I'm not, and I feel awkward and I'm trying to impress and I'm trying too hard. Does she get that benefit? No, she doesn't. It's never going to be an equal playing field. If you have a coach that's already coaching the same girls on the regular, it just can't happen. And I feel like that goes for everything. And I'm sorry. And guess what? Some of my highly respected friends are unbelievable coaches, and I hold them extremely high stature. But I do feel that indirectly, they are going to come into that point in that situation at one time, and they're not going to be able to think differently. It's just the way the mind works. And that's why I feel the way I feel about coaches that should not be allowed to coach for a high school team that already coached in their township, because I just don't think everybody gets a fair shake. That's my opinion, Coach Tony's opinion, and my opinion only. And that brings me to the daddy ball thing, because the same kind of thing essentially happens, but it's different because now we're only talking about one team instead of two teams. And I do think it has benefits. It really does. So let's talk about this. Let's think about some pros of daddy ball. Increased participation. Big benefit. Because again, how many programs are dying for volunteers? You're in a league right now where predominantly paid coaches exist. You're paying $4,000 to $5,000 for some of these programs, so you can hire somebody from Brazil or some other, you know, soccer country, some Olympic guy to come in and he's going to coach your kids and make them the best. Yeah, whatever. I look at it as this is a pro because, again, daddy ball is the word, but one of the benefits of it is, you know, having these coaches exist, sacrificing their time and their resources and their energy, again, because they buy in. They buy in. They ensure the children get that opportunity to play and participate in sports. They're not in for a paycheck. They're not in it to say, I need to win, because if I don't win, I don't get paid. Completely different. How about being familiar? How about the comfort level that exists for some children having a parent as a coach? It provides them with that added layer of comfort, right? That can boost their confidence, making them more enthusiastic, making them more energetic, making them want to participate even more. And honestly, commitment to the team has got to be a pro too, because parent coaches, just by the sake of their own child's involvement, will show a deeper commitment to the team, their continuity, their success. They're going to buy in because they want this to they know this is their child's team. They know this is their opportunity to exist on a team sport, and they want it bad, and they want to make sure it happens. Now let's go to some cons. Bias and favoritism. Probably most times than not, these are two of the biggest cons of daddy ball, right? It can demoralize other players. It leads to resentment, decreased effort, sometimes even quitting the sport altogether. And that's something because of it, because you just feel out of the limelight. Like, you feel like no matter what you do, it's not good enough, right? How about stunning player development? I mean, let's think about it. When players are given preferential treatment or playing time, it doesn't give opportunities to the other kids to develop. Help them develop their skills in actual game situations. Conflict of interest. Parent coaches sometimes can find it challenging to separate their parental instincts from their coaching duties, leading to decisions that may not be in the best interest of the team. Now, that could work both ways, right? I mean, that could lead to you being even harder on your child, maybe stunting his growth, because you're looking at him in a completely different limelight. Maybe you're taking the fun out of everything for him because you're trying so hard not to be that daddy ball kind of figure. It happens. Trust me, I've been there. How about disagreements about playing time, positioning, strategy can be more personal and heated when the coach is also a parent, right? When you start hearing the criticism from the other players, from the other parents, you know, from the other team, so to speak. But, you know, when it's your son, when it's your daughter, sometimes it's different. And some people just don't know how to act. I do understand. Here's the thing. I'm not telling you 100% that I'm all pro or I'm all like, I'm giving you both sides. I'm giving you both sides because I want you to judge. I want to hear your story. I want to hear what you think the impact on the sport is. Some of the questions that have arisen from the daddy ball argument is, what about Is there a potential for the quality of the game to decline? Think about it, right? If talented players are consistently sidelined in favor of the lesser skilled players, obviously due to favoritism, quality of the play will suffer dramatically. It's common sense. How about negative reputation? This is big because when you think about it, persistent issues with daddy ball can give a sport or a league a bad rep. People don't want to play in that league. They don't want to come to that league. It discourages new participants and even sponsors for self-funded programs. And again, that is a huge impact. Huge impact. And lastly, we have to talk about player retention. Think about those players that feel slighted. What's that lead? It leads them to quit. It leads the program. It leads to a loss of talent and passion from the sport. You're really playing with fire here when we talk about some of these negative impacts and questions. There has to be some type of balance. There has to be. And you have to find it. And you have to find it quick. Now, I want you to listen to this soundbite I have. And this is from the Pivot Podcast, run by Ryan Clark, which is unbelievable. One of my favorites. Love it, love it, love it. Had the great Jamal Crawford on. You see him on a basketball court now as an analyst. And he talks about, it's only 2 minutes, so make sure you listen to the whole thing because I want you to get the context of it. I'm going to come back and tell you one of my stories as well when it comes to what he dealt with. And then he also talks about the impacts of the parents. And I think it's a very interesting point that he makes on what could be ruining the sport as we go further.
You recently posted about parenting. You're dual now, right? Yes. You're the parent, yep, of a player, mm-hmm, and you're also the coach of a player. How have you handled that and been able to navigate those players, those parental relationships, and just be a father to your son while you're out there?
It was so this is year three coaching him. And it was so hard the first year and a half because I was treating him like my son rather than just a player. And I was harder on him than anybody else. And I didn't want to be the parent, oh, he's daddy balling. You know, we get that all the time. He's daddy balling. He's doing it because of son. So I went the other way. I'm like, you'll never be able to say that. I'm going to be hard on him. He's going to be the first one to come out. He's going to be the only one I yell at. He's going to be the one that, what I'm really thinking about all y'all at times, he's going to get it because he's my son. I know he can handle it. But then a couple of my friends, shout out to Dave King and Good. They were like, you're actually not coaching him. You're yelling at him. And I had to check myself. I'm like, you're right. Why am I doing that? Because they're saying that they're going to say what they want anyway, as we all know. So as long as I know I'm doing right by all these kids, then I'm at peace, so I can move forward. So now I'm actually coaching him. Mm-hmm. It's been a better experience for him, I'm sure, and me as well. One thing I can honestly say when I was just a parent is I trusted who was coaching my son. You could send him the whole half. I don't have a problem with it because I trust you, right? There could be a bigger picture. You could see something totally different. And the parents have kind of ruined the sport because now kids hating on another kid based off what the parents say on the car right there.
Yep.
A kid's, you know, why am I not getting this attention? Why am I not? All that because with the parents, it starts at the home. And so now the parents are kind of messing up that dynamic. So now when we recruit kids, or I don't really recruit, when we choose to take a kid, we're choosing if that parent's going to fit in with what we see. Because we're teaching them, we're coaching them not where they are, but where they'll be and what we know is best for them. So you have to be able to fit in.
Again, that's from the Pivot Podcast with Ryan Clark. That is Jamal Crawford. And that's a very powerful clip. Says so many things. It means a lot to me. And I'll tell you why. Number one, we're going to have a whole episode on why I feel parents are ruining the sports. And he alludes to that right there. Because you know as well as I do. You get it, right? You get it. You know what he's talking about. You know what happens. I can name three kids on my team whose parents do it right now. I already know it. I've never seen it, but I know it. I hear it. I hear it in my head. I already know what's going on. And you're not helping your child by telling them it's everybody else's fault. You label them as uncoachable and unpickable. When we're talking about, you just heard him about recruiting because he's looking at that parent and saying, I want nothing to do with that parent. Because I know he's going to stomp the player's growth just by being a parent and not allowing me to be a coach. Simple. And it's ruining the game. So we'll get into that on another episode. But I did want to set that in there because I do think that's very important when we talk about it because we're talking about daddy ball. So it has to do with parents, right? But what he said in the beginning about trying to find that balance as a dad and a coach, I struggled mightily with that at various times. And I will give you an instance when I struggled with it and on a way where it affected my son. I've never struggled with being daddy ball because you will ask anybody who has ever played for me except one person that we're going to talk about soon that'll say, oh, no, No, Tony doesn't play daddy ball. He's harder on his kids than anybody. They all knew that. It was obvious. It was apparent. Like, you didn't have, there was no secret. You saw it play out on the field. And I'll give you an instance. In soccer, my poor son AJ, on his birthday, I'll never forget it. He's my backup goalie. And we're talking about at a 10, he was 10 years old. It was literally U11. He was 10 years old. And we're at a tournament, indoor tournament, in the winter over at CB East. And my goalie gets injured. So I have to put AJ in. No warm-up, no prep, no nothing, right? So my man was not very good that day. Rightfully so, right? I get it. He's, first of all, I'm in the moment, okay? Well, I was berating him to no end, to the point where, you know, parents were like thinking they were going to have to take him home. Like, I literally pulled him out of net, like not grabbed him like that, but I mean like yanking him in theory. But I literally was basically like, get out. Like, go sit on the bed. I'd rather put somebody else in there. You're not doing a job. I mean, at that time, I wasn't thinking of how emotionally I was harming him at that time, but I was so incessant that I wanted, again, it sounds weird, but I wanted him to do so well. I knew that he could, but then when he was really bad, you know, I became, instead of a coach and trying to help him through it, I became that dad who was incessant on his player being so great, which is not who I am. And I learned from that. And it was a moment. I am not perfect by any means. I will give you all the skeletons I have in my closet. I am one of the most transparent people you'll ever meet. So I knew I had an issue and I had to work through it. And I did. I really, really did. It took me some time. He's 17 right now. It might have took me up to 15 years old, but it took me some time. But one thing I would never be labeled as is daddy ball, except for one time. I'm going to tell this story. You know how I do with this podcast. Fighting for Overtime is all about fighting different battles, right? It's fighting different battles. And this fight that I had, I should have never had a fight. But because, like I've said before, we have individuals that live in society, especially in my township, that everybody thinks is Facebook friendly and everybody thinks is great. But behind the scenes, they're as vindictive as they come. Now, I'm going to be nice and I'm not going to say a last name, but this happened. This is true. So knowing that it's true, I have no problem whatsoever explaining the whole situation. So this, again, volunteer. Did Tony ever want to coach basketball? No, I did not. Why? Because it was my break. Not because I didn't like to coach, because I spent so much time with softball and soccer. Basketball was my kids' outlet just to have fun. At that point in time, it was never about travel. All it was about an in-house league where the boys could go practice a couple nights a week and play a game. That's it. Not getting crazy, not going anywhere, nothing. Just an outlet, that is all. And as usual, you know, all the people that talk the big game, nobody ever steps up to coach. So it's always the same people year in and year out, every sport. We all know who they are. So again, no coach, no team. So obviously, what does Tony do? He's Coach Tony, so he steps up and says, fine, I'll take the team. Against my better judgment, okay? Now, I was a basketball player. Wouldn't think of it now, but I could stand in the corner and knock a three down with the best of them. Just don't ask me to drive the lane because I'll probably get swatted because I'm only 5'5". But I do know the rotation of the ball. I do know the game, and I do know how to coach it. I just wanted a break. Simple. Just wanted a break. So I wind up coaching. Again, the whole thing is a cluster you know what. Nobody knows who's on a team. People already bitching in the beginning. Oh, my son needs to be on this team. He wants to be with this friend. He needs this ride. He doesn't like this player. I don't like that mom. I don't like that. Oh, my God. Like, can we just play a friggin' basketball game? But no, it's all got to be a soap opera, right? Everything's got to be a soap opera. So I go in and I coach the team. Not once was I offered any help, nothing. But I was offered by a specific woman who offered up her husband's services, who never obliged anyway. But I guess that was just a way, now I see, to get in better graces just to have her kid on a different level. I'll be honest with you. I coach very differently. I don't care if you're LeBron James. I don't care if you're Kobe Bryant. If you're an asshole, if you don't have a commitment, if you don't show up, don't care. I will cater to the kids who do. So if I'm having practices and kids are showing up, and out of 11 kids, I got four kids. Yeah, that's how sad this was. four kids showing up to a practice. Well, guess who's getting the playing time? The four kids, because they deserve it. I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care how good you are. Then don't play. If you can't get there, then don't play. And you know what, mom and dad? If you don't like it, take a hike, take a walk, go play somewhere else. I'm very simple. Very simple concept. And that's how I roll. If you don't like it, see ya. No problem. There's other townships to go play in. I have no problem with that. Go find another coach. Oh, or while you're at it, why don't you coach? Right? Why don't you coach? There's a concept, right? Maybe we didn't think about. So it comes to the point where I literally barely have enough kids to play games at times. It was an absolute joke. But there was four kids who were there all the time. And one of them being my son. Was my son the best basketball player? Absolutely not. Was my son committed? Absolutely. Not just because daddy was the coach. It's because he liked to play. He wanted to be there. Was he somebody that couldn't shoot a basketball? No, we're not. Listen, and even if he was, it wouldn't matter. But I'm just saying, the kid could play. He could hold his own. Again, in-house, rec game, wasn't looking to be an all-star. Well, speaking of all-stars, you have to pick two all-stars from each team to represent. If you heard the way I coach, you know where this is going. I have to pick a couple kids to be an all-star. And to be quite honest with you, there was only two kids in my mind. Two of them were out of the four that actually showed up, weren't complete jerk-offs when it came to coaching, and actually had fun and smiled and wanted to play and listened to the teachings and actually develop. It's a concept. They developed. Why? Because they practiced. And they were absolute gems of teammates. Simple as that. One of them, yes, was my son. I have no problem saying that. Listen, just because, like I told you, I'm a daddy coach doesn't mean I play daddy ball. You're allowed to elevate your own child if they deserve it. Well, here's the funny part. My good friend Patty, who likes to take a lot of pictures in the park, by the way, I'll leave it at that. So I get an interesting phone call from somebody who remained nameless who asked me if I have a minute to talk. I said, sure, absolutely. Come to find out that Picture Patty decides to write a long letter to Southampton Basketball about how me, of all people, is playing daddy ball and how I'm unequipped to be a head coach, how my son is completely inferior as a player, how my son should not even be on a basketball court, and instead, her son, who's barely ever there, because he is a superior athlete, deserves to be an all-star. And I'm playing daddy ball, and that's the only reason why I picked my son. I'm going to tell you what, it takes me a lot. It takes me a lot to hold back. Doesn't take me a lot to go from 0 to 100. I go there quick. It's the Italian in me. It's the reason why people nickname me Jigsaw. It's a mentality that I have, and I can't help it, especially when you want to attack my family. If you want to write a letter and you want to disagree, listen, everybody has their opinion. I still think you're an idiot, but you know what? Go ahead, have fun. But when you want to degrade me and my son at 12 years old, 13 years old, whatever he was at that time, are you kidding me? Are you that much of, oh, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice. But again, he's everybody's friend. Such a great person. Hi, thank you. You're the best. Helping my kids get ready for soccer, taking pictures. But no, that same person is actually trying to tear my son's confidence down and tear me down as a person, all because she had to have her kid as number one. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And that's daddy ball at its best. But it's daddy ball when it's wrongly perceived as daddy ball. It's daddy ball coming from a person who is as uneducated in the sport as any. And it goes back to what Jamal Crawford said about the parents being the problem. And as me being a Final Boss Rock fan, I guarantee that she is one of those parents. It's simple. That letter was written with purpose. It wasn't written because she had a problem. It was written to tear somebody down. How dare her? And this is the first time I'm opening up about it, because now I got no skin in the game anymore. I got no skin in the game. I'm on my last year of coaching, and you know what? Now it's time to tell the stories. Now it's time to let all out of the bag. Now it's time for the people to stop hiding behind a computer. Now it's time for people to stop hiding behind an email address. Now, listen, you got something to say, you need to say it. Because I'm not being Mr. Nice Guy anymore. Now I can actually stick up the way I want to stick up for my children. Because at that time, what this person failed to realize is my son was already having his confidence destroyed in school sports because of the asshole athletics when it comes to Klinger Middle School and William Tennant High School. So I was already working him up back from the basement, and now she had the audacity to try to tear him down once again. What does she think, that I was not going to find out? Did she think that I was not going to know? Did she think she keeps smiling around the township that everybody thinks she's this great person? I'm sorry, I don't think she is. I don't. Because when you attack me and you attack my family, I got a problem. I got a problem. And here's what I will say. Here's the funny part. It's so funny that I say this all the time, and we're going to end this very shortly because I'm already getting over the top right now because it's fuming back the emotions of that time. And that's what's going to happen with these episodes. I'm telling you right now, because it's going to bring me back in time. It is. And if anybody has ever told stories like this, they know, whether it's from, you know, whether you cry, whether you get heated, whether you laugh, it doesn't matter. All kinds of emotions are coming out because obviously you hear how passionate I am. I can't make things like this up. But the funny thing is, I'm actually that one person that even if I didn't like an individual, I would never hold it against their kid. I remember a specific instance where somebody decided that they were better and they wanted to leave and they wanted to take their kid away from one of my soccer teams. And, you know, it happens, whatever. But he turned out to be a very vindictive person as well. But the funny thing is, I never held it against the kid. Listen, because your dad's an asshole, it's not your fault, right? It's not your fault. It's not your fault your dad's an asshole. You can't help it, right? So if you're going to come watch my soccer game, I'm going to bring you in, man. I'm going to talk to you, see how you're doing, man, because I miss you. I was your coach. Again, it's not my fault or your fault your dad's an asshole. So that's the way I roll. That's how I roll when it comes to coaching. That's how I feel when it comes to all this. And it's the only way I know how to respond. But bringing it back to the beginning of Daddy Ball, just remember, there are positives and negatives for the subject. How many times have you gone to a program that was in desperate need of a coach? How many times did you go to a program and you looked at a coach and be like, what is this guy even doing out there? You know what? He's probably a volunteer. Maybe you should get your butt up off the bleachers and go help because you know so much. But nah, it's easier to hide behind a computer, a phone, or a hat and sit there and spew negativity all over the place instead of trying to make something better. So remember that as the positive side of Daddy Ball. But again, I agree that there's also the negative side as well. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like as the sport goes on now, all sports in general, that I feel like Daddy Ball has decreased a little more than it has in the past. So I think it's not running rampant as it used to be. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of programs that are non-existent anymore because they couldn't get the coaches or because everybody's forced to play travel. So there's not a lot of Daddy Ball situations, but I do still know that there could be. And if you're in that situation, how do you react? If you've had a situation where you've been labeled as a Daddy Baller, I want to know. If you have a situation where you labeled somebody else as a Daddy Baller and you had premise in order to do so, I want to hear about it. How did you handle it? Again, because it's about telling the stories that other people may run into at a later date. This can help them cope, feel comfortable, understand. And again, like I said, I have no more skin in this game anymore. I have so many situations and so many stories that I'm going to tell because you know what I'm tired of is I'm tired of seeing people get accolades for somebody that they're not. And the only reason why they're getting it is because people live on social media and they feel like Facebook is the end all be all. And I say that wholeheartedly, that there's always a story behind the profile. Just remember that. There's always a story behind the profile. And it's not to be vindictive. It's not to be blatant. It's just to tell my raw emotions and my stories and then make people understand that if you encounter these individuals, you may have not encountered the same issue, but just be prepared that it could happen to you as well. So again, Fighting for Overtime, Coach Tony here. Again, Daddy Ball. the impact on youth sports. Have you felt it? Do you remember it? Do you witness it? Have you witnessed it? I want to know. Again, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you give us a rating. And anywhere you get your podcast, it's very simple to just hit follow, give it a quick rating, maybe hit a 5-star. And jokingly, like I said, maybe a 1-star because you think I suck. It's all good. Not a problem because I know I'm better. But anyway, as always, thank you for the support. Fighting for Overtime. Stay tuned for the next episode where it could get very, very dicey.